and praise, that you enable us to earn a giving. And Father, we trust you for our living. And we thank you, Lord, that we take on the nature of our Father, which is a generous spirit. And Father, as we water, it will be watered back unto us, and the people shall be blessed. And we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you excited about the word today? At this time, I want to introduce to you my father-in-law, a man who I admire deeply. He has helped me be a better pastor. I often call on him for advice, and he guides me well, and I just appreciate him. And him and my mother-in-law currently run an orphanage called Bless the Children Home in Guyana, South America. They've dedicated this part of their life to raise the next generation, and they have a great work going on there. So I want to introduce you my father-in-law, Serge, not Serge Paul, and let's welcome him to VCF today. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good to be here this morning. Good to see some of our friends and some pastor, Steve Hoffman. Pishkas are here, Art and Barb, and all the other friends. My wife, honored to have her here. Amen. We don't know how much we need these precious people until we miss them. Is that right? And I've been over there 4 weeks without her. And it wasn't easy. We're glad to be back. We're heading back to Guyana next Monday into Tuesday morning. But let me congratulate Fiona and Doug on their seventh year here at this church. And we're very proud of them. And we just wish them more success, more victories, more souls. And I want them to know we are over in Guyana and we pray for them there on a daily basis. So if we pray, God is going to make a way. Amen? And then I want to say thanks to all our friends here who have been supporting the orphanage. You've been a blessing to us. We have 16 kids right now. And we could have had 160, but of course we need more finances as we grow. Amen? We have devotions with the kids every night, and you ought to hear them sing and pray. And Sunday morning we have church, not Sunday school, church, from 9 to 10. And actually what happened in the past, we used to take them to a church. And if you know anything about Guyana and the Caribbean, they have long services. They start Sunday school at 9 o'clock, and the service doesn't end until 1:30, 2 o'clock. And these kids are there all the time, you know. They get restless, they get hungry, they sleep, they fight. And then the Lord kind of hit me right in my head. I said, you ought to get some sense, because when the preacher preaches, they don't get much from what he's saying, because he's talking to the adults and the believers. And so the Lord impressed upon my heart, why don't I have a session for the kids, just for the kids alone? And they have been blessed. They have learned so much. I would think they know almost all the stories in the Bible. We've been telling that to them every night. And they can quote scriptures from their head from A to Z. Is that right? A to Z, all through the alphabet, one scripture for each letter, and they can quote it in a group. And it's amazing. My wife, Sheila, she taught them that. And then we want to thank you especially for sending Pastor Doug and Brother Les to our orphanage. They visited, and they were a blessing. They work physically. We get some work for them to do. And they were mingling with the kids, talking to them, sharing with them. And most of all, Pastor Doug visited the Bible school where I'm teaching a Bible school. It's a Bible Institute training pastors. And he took some Bibles from here, from your church, which you donated, and gave them to the pastors. And they were so thankful. I would say this, when I went there to teach, these students, they're young men and young women. We have about 8, 9 of them in the class, training to be. They were so, what's the word I'm going to use? So lack of faith. I don't want to say so doubtful. I said they were so lack of faith that I told them that, you need Bibles, all of you. Study Bibles. And they look at me, where are we going to get it from? You know what I mean? They look at me, and I said, let's pray and believe God that we're going to have Bibles. And we prayed, and the Bibles came. I said, I was kind of showing off now, you know. I said, the kids at the orphanage started to pray for computers. And Brother Les, he brought one. And we got another one for the kids. I said, let's pray for a computer for the Bible school. And they were... You see, sometimes we get into that groove where we feel that first we got to get the money, then we talk about it. But in God's kingdom and in God's work, we talk about it first. And then God supply the need. Can somebody say amen? Amen. As you believe, so be it unto you. If you believe God can do it, He can do it. The orphanage that we built in Guyana is the most beautiful orphanage. It's a beautiful building. And my wife, she had all the faith to do it. I didn't have too much of faith. If the Lord is depending on me, we wouldn't have an orphanage in Guyana. So I made a confession there today. And we are trusting the Lord. We have house parents there. 3 of them right now taking care of the kids. And we have 2 security men, and we're doing all we can to teach those kids the Word of God. Amen? I've got a complaint to give you with Pastor Doug. He stole my boys away from me. We got 2 little guys. 1 is 4, 1 is 3. See what I mean, brother? They'll come and sit on my lap, my legs, and I'll bounce them up and down and give them horsey. Is that right? So when Pastor Doug came there now, they went to him and he started giving them horsey. And the little guy, he came to me and said, I said, what happened? What happened? You're not coming to me no more for horsey. He said, your horse is too old. Literally told me that. He said, your horsey too old. I said, oh my Lord, have mercy. I want to give you an open invitation and to come to our orphanage and visit. We have accommodations, mission accommodations. And if you're mission-minded, I'm sure you're going to enjoy. We had people come in there all the time. We had one mother and 2 kids were there. One of them were there 3 times. The mother was there 3 times. And they're planning to come back early January. And they're working with the kids and helping them. Also, I want to ask you to pray. Well, you don't have to pray if you can give it. We need a van to move the kids around. We need movies for the boys. Oh, my goodness. That's their weakest point. Spider-Man, they said. Batman movies. Good Christian movies. I know some people have movies that you're not using. We can take it back with us. They'll be glad. They'll be glad. Good books. Good Christian books. They love to read. And, anything that you think they can use. Actually, when we got these kids, big boys, 11 years old, can't read, can't write their own name, can't count. All summer I was working with them. I went on the computer and got stuff printed out. And now they're a little better, thank God. They can read, they can count, they can learn. And we are praying that God is going to make them what He wants them to be. I believe that at this time, God has a special program. He brought these kids to us that we can share the love of Jesus with them. And we are trying our best to do that. I believe in that group, they're leaders. I believe in that group, they're preachers. I believe in that group, they're singers that will impact the nation of Guyana in the future. And I don't want to forget my responsibility as the leader, as the preacher there, to instill in them the Lord Jesus Christ. If I may ask you one time, please continue to pray for us. Some of you received an email the other day about our lights and our light bill. They charge us a back payment of 300,000 Guyana dollars, which is 1,500 US dollars, which is impossible. What happened was when we were putting up the building, we had a meter placed in the yard. We call it a temporary meter. It couldn't be on the building, there was no building. So that we used that for a watch light, security light, and for the guys to work with their drills and what they got to do. Somehow somebody broke it, threw a stone at it, something. And the guy who would read the meter knew that the meter was broken because he comes to read it every month. And I mean, a company as big as you think they'll try to replace it so they'll get their business straight. We also, our men that were there went and complained immediately, but they never replaced it. So from April to October, when we dedicated the building, September 27, 2008, they're charging us a back payment of $300,000. And now that we have everything operating, we don't pay more than 15,000 Guyana dollars a month. So I don't know where they get the figures from. So after talking to everybody that we know, finally I found the manager. And I said, hey, this can't be right. Of course, I had to wait my turn, you know, and I sat down there waiting and waiting. Finally, he came out from his office to talk to me. And then he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put this account on hold, and we're going to investigate to see how it goes. So we're on hold right now until I go back sometime and see if we're going to get a reduction in that that back payment. So thank you very much for your support. God bless you. We appreciate it. Amen? And you just encourage us to keep going on. Let me say this. Our vision is just bigger than an orphanage. We want to see a school there for these kids. I went to the school, the public school where they're going, and I talked with the teacher, and the teacher told me right in my face, she said, listen, I got 40 kids to take care of, and I can't pay attention to anyone. I put the work on the board. If they want to do it, they do it. If they don't want to do it, not my problem. We want to have our own school. We want to have a clinic there to help the community and the other kids in the area. By the help of God, a group here in America is putting up a church building for our kids. Actually, let me say that. I got to stop. I want to preach. Mr. Hugh Carver, who is Men of Action chairman, they go out building churches, helping. His son got killed, 16 years old, got killed in an accident. At first, they wanted to take our orphanage and put their son's name on it. Myself and Sheila, we said, no. We worked too hard to call it Blessed Children Home. If you want, we can get another piece of land and you can build a church and put the name of Mr. Carver on it. So they did that. They bought a piece of property near to the orphanage, and they're going to start. As soon as I go back, they're going to start with all the building plans and a church for the kids and, of course, the community. So we thank God for that. Amen? So our vision is bigger than that. I believe God can do anything. Somebody say amen. Sometimes when I talk, people look at me and they think that I'm showing off, but I'm not. I believe God can do it. If we cannot have a vision for God, then what vision do we have? All right, if we start to talk negative, you know, it's not going to work. Because we can say things like, well, I don't know how long we're going to do it because there's a crisis. But there's no crisis with God. He said if you give, He will open the windows of heaven, whether it's crisis or not, and pour you out a blessing. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as we get ready for the word. I have a very simple sermon. You've been in this fellowship, some of you, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 7 years. And I have a simple question to ask you this morning. How close have you gotten to God? And we're going to try to investigate and see where we are. Is that okay? Can we say amen?
Amen.
No, you don't have to be scared. There's nothing to fear here. I'm your friend. I'm here to help you. Is that all right? And we'll study this together. And we'll see if there is room for improvement. If there is room to get closer. And I believe God will help us. Can we lift our hands and just praise Him? Lord, we praise You today. We worship You today. We honor You for this opportunity. Lord, I'll only say those words that You want me to say. Lord, I pray You'll open every heart. I pray, God, You will touch every mind today. We will see Jesus. When we left here today, we'll say, we've been to church and we saw Jesus. And the Lord spoke to our hearts. God, the needs that are here today, burdens that are here, wounded ones that are here, those that are bruised, in the name of Jesus, that they'll be helped today. Bless us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may have your seats. Hebrews 10:22, if you've got your Bible. I just got out of Guyana on Tuesday night, and I found your weather is cold here. Back home in Guyana, Guyana is home, and America is home. All the families here, and all our orphanage families over there. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You don't have to turn, but listen to this. It came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save it such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call Him in truth. This people draw it nigh unto Me with their mouths, and honor it Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Got a problem in the orphanage, and the problem is a good one. I move, you know, from the kitchen to the office, and somebody is holding my pants and walking behind me. Seriously, very close. So sometimes I forget he's there, and I step back, I'm stepping on his toes. My friend Dingo, 3 years old, and he will always come right up, hold my pants, sir, I want a piece of bread. I want a piece of bread. So what do you want? I want a piece of bread. And I'm talking about nearness. How close are you to God? And I remember Dingo, I got to watch it, because if I go and lie on the sofa, right on my chest he comes. You know, if I am going out with a car, he runs, he wants to go. And one day, I didn't want him to come. So he came out and he's ready to go. I said, you got to go get your shoes. So by the time he went for his shoes, I went off. So when I came back, he was standing there with his shoes, and he was looking at me. I said, okay, I'm going to take you out just now. I took him out after that. But he couldn't go with me the first time. I'm talking about closeness. Closeness to God. How close are you to God this morning? We need a spiritual thermometer to see where we are. But let's turn the question around. How close is God to us? As close as the wind? Because He's everywhere. And how close is God to us? Close enough as we let Him come. Because He wants to come close to us. When He said, come unto Me, all you that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace and make your requests known unto God. Somebody say amen. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to be His friend. You know, I think of couples that have been married, and it's kind of a strain, and it shouldn't be like that. When they're courting, you hardly could separate them, is that right? Everywhere you go, they're paced together. And, you know, you want to know what's wrong with these people. They got married 1 year and they're a little bit not so close. You know what I mean? After 5 years, where's your wife? Oh, I left her in the parking lot. She's coming in. After 15 years of marriage, they're sleeping in their own beds. I said, I can't sleep with him. He snores too hard. And I'm going to say this, with some believers, it's just like that with God. They've lost their first love. When they started out at him, they were very close. Oh, they love to sing. Oh, they love to read their Bibles. Oh, they can't wait for the church doors to be open. But after 7 years, after 5 years, you got to look for them. Hey, sister, I miss you in church this week. Oh, I was busy. I had some stuff to do. And that's why I'm asking the question this morning, how close are you to God? How close? I watch some detective shows, and I watch how the detectives operate. You ever see them? They're shadowing the person, you know? Person's way there, they're way behind them, and they're always behind some post, you know? Always behind some car. And we got some Christians that are shadowing God, far away from him, just waiting to see what's going on. Like Peter, when Jesus was captured in the garden by Judas' friends, Peter followed afar off. See, there's a problem when you follow afar off. Can somebody say amen? You're getting serious. I can watch you. You want to know what this guy's going to say next. You see, there's a problem when you're following afar off. And the problem is this. And just watch me. I'll show you what it is. If you're looking at somebody and you're moving away from them, they get smaller. Their image gets smaller. Am I right here? Their voice gets weaker. You can't hear them after a while. Am I right here? They're far away. You can't hear them like when you're close. And we got some people just like that. God is way off. I mean, they can see a little speck. You know what I mean? He's there. And they can barely hear his voice. But thank God for those who are close. Thank God for those who are walking close. They can hear his voice. They can feel his presence. They can know he's there. And there is no greater assurance and there is no greater feeling than to feel the glory and the honor and the presence of Almighty God. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I notice our president, Obama, got some guys very close to him. You ever watch them? Inner circle man. Not everybody gets so close to the president. Am I right? They know his schedule. They know all his dates for the week. Where he's going to be, who's going to be there, what is he going to say, and all of that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God has some inner circle people very close to him. Hear me now. He tells them what's going to happen tomorrow. He tells them what's going to happen to America. He tells them what's going to happen to the world. He reveals his secrets to them because they're close to him. Somebody say amen. There's some people that are very pretentious about their closeness to God. They walk around with a holy face. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister, how are you doing today? You know, God spoke to me this morning. And you know, they boast how many times God speaks to them for the day. They walk around some in the Caribbean, the ladies wear hats to churches. The bigger the hat, the holier you are. The longer the dress, holier you are. But in my Bible, it's not like that. It's not like that. And if I may continue, there is someone who is trying to push you further away from God. Try to push you away. He's trying to put a wedge between you. But let's see this morning a few people in the Bible that were close to God. Abraham was called a friend of God because of his faith. Who's a friend? A friend is someone who's very close to you. Someone indeed, someone in need. A friend is someone you can tell your secrets to. That's what God did when he visited Abraham. And he said, shall I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? Yes, let's tell him. Abraham, we're going down to Sodom. We heard of the evils of Sodom. And we're going on there here if it's true. And if it's true, we're going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham said, hold on a minute. You see, when you're a friend, your friend can advise you. Wow! Abraham was a friend of God. And God listened to him. He said, if there's 50 righteous people there, are you going to spare Sodom? And he said, yes, if there is, we'd spare Sodom. 40? 20? 10? And you know the story. There was not 10 righteous people in Sodom. It was just Lot and his two daughters. And God delivered Lot and his two daughters and rained fire on. But Abraham knew about it because Abraham was a friend of God. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, that I can be a friend of God. Oh, that I can be someone that God can trust with his secrets about other people's lives, about the church, about the future, about what's going to happen, that God can trust me. But here is something. If your physical friend can't trust you, how much more can God trust you? Are you still there? Somebody give me an amen. Let me know I'm going all right here. I thought we were going to have a lot of people shouting when I preach this sermon, but turning all the opposite here. You see, Abraham was a friend of God. But you know who David was? A man after God's own heart. Is that all right? We all know that. A man after God's, a man that God loves, a man that God appreciates and admires, a man that God cares for. How close is this guy? Woo! In the whole world, David was the guy that was loved by God. Oh, I don't care to be after his heart. Let me just be by his foot side. Let him know that I'm there. How close are you this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm feeling his presence here. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, Moses was so close. He heard the voice of God. And the voice said, hey, Moses, take the shoes off your feet. Are you with me? For the ground where you stand is holy ground. So I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I'm sending you to Egypt. Deliver you. And he argued with God. 11 excuses he made. Finally he went. When he came out of Egypt, he went on top of the mountain and spent 40 days with God. And God spoke to him face to face. Eyeball to eyeball. How close are you to God? Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. God talked to this guy free. You see, my friends, we may have friends in high places, big shots, money men, whatever. But there is no greater joy than talking to God face to face. You see, Moses was so long in the presence of God that when he came off the mountain, they couldn't look on his face. Some of God's presence rubbed off on Moses. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you are close to God, I'm going to know it because I'm going to sense God's presence. But that wasn't the end of Moses. He went closer. Listen, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Exodus chapter 33. He saw the glory of God. He saw, you know, I mean, and he said, well, I want to see your glory. And the Lord said, you can't see my face. Just now we said he saw God face to face. Somebody said, he saw the reflection of God. Okay? He saw the reflection of God. So let's leave it at that. And God says, no, I'm not going to show you my face for real. But he said, go on the mountain and stay in the cleft of the rock. Somebody say amen. And he said, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to cover you with my hand. Come on, somebody say amen. And he said, when I pass, I'm going to remove my hand and you're going to see my back parts. Woo! Moses, boy, I tell you, he was close. He was close. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo! I don't care even to see the back parts, but just let me see something. If I could hear his voice audibly, that would be great. And God was close to Israel. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Is that right? Have you heard his voice lately? He came when Daniel prayed, when he was in the lion's den. God came and delivered him. When the three Hebrew boys were in the fire, God came and delivered him. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the doorposts shook. And he said, I cried out, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. God was right in the church or in the temple where Isaiah was. Woo! Wouldn't that be great? That God is in our church every time we meet. And not only will the doorpost shake, but we will shake and we will tremble with the glory and with the power of God. Somebody say amen. How close are we to God? Come on now. I don't want you to fall back. I'm trying to drag you close up. Is that all right? I'm trying to pull you. Let's go together. And let's see. Ezekiel saw him. And he said, I saw him. And over his head was the wheel in the middle of a wheel. And he said there was fire on his feet. Somebody say amen. Woo, hallelujah. I like that. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is way back in the book of Genesis, you know. And one preacher said, Enoch went out in the afternoon hours and meditated in God, and he was walking in the pastures and in the fields, and he was praising God, and he was worshiping God, and it got late, and it got dark, and he continued walking and continued praising, and God said, Enoch, you're closer to me than you are to your home. Come on up. Let's go. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. God took him. The Apostle Paul, a man of God, mighty man of God, had a vision on the road of Damascus where the Lord said, you're persecuting me. But that wasn't the end of it. He was taken into the third heaven where God dwells, and secrets were revealed to him that he was not allowed to utter. How close was he? Right up where God lives. I wish one of these days God would knock me out and just let me stay there and take me up to heaven and show me a little bit. Wouldn't that be something? And you see, that's the reason why. Though they beat him, they stone him, they starve him, they imprison him, they chain him, they forsook him, he couldn't give up. He's seen the invisible one. Seen him. He's seen him. And he must go forward. John the Revelator was very close to Jesus. You want to listen to this because this is important. You see, when Jesus was on earth, John was the youngest disciple. He was but a youth, you know? And every time they'll gather together, they always recline. You know what I mean? Like on a low sofa, and they will lie down and recline, not sit, or not lie down flat on a bed. And John would find himself very close to Jesus with his head on Jesus' chest. And one writer says, that's one of the reasons why John wrote all his letters are about love. Check it and see. He rests his head on the heart of love. Wow, he was close. He was very close, my brother. He was so close that all the disciples asked him one time, ask Jesus, who is going to betray him? Remember that? They said, John, ask him. And then Jesus said, the one whom I give the sup to, or the one whose hand is with me in the sup. But that's not the end. He was forsaken. He was beaten. He was persecuted. Somebody said he was put in a pot of oil and cast on the Isle of Patmos. And it was a Sunday morning. Somebody said, how do you know it was a Sunday morning? It was the Lord's day, the day he rose from the dead. Are you still there? And he said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You see, my friend, trials shouldn't get us discouraged. We ought to draw near with our trials. And John drew near, and he said while he was worshiping, he heard a voice behind him. Well, like a trumpet. And so when he turned to look, it was like the Son of Man. He said the Lord didn't visit him for a long time. And now he was not just the Jesus in the flesh. He was the resurrected Lord. And John said, when he turned, he had seven candles. He was walking in the among the candles, and he had seven stars in his hand, representing the church and the ministers. He said he had a long robe from the top to the bottom. His face shone like the brightness of the sun. His hair was white as wool, and his eyes were like fire. From his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword. His feet shone like brass. And he said, I'm he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. They were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. How can I know how close I am to God? And here we're going to do some evaluation and see where we get. Let's see. First of all, one of the first things you know how close you are to God is his presence. You see, there's some people that only feel the presence of God when they come to church. Wrong. You should feel him when you're driving. You should feel him at your workplace. You should feel him in your home, in your kitchen, wherever. In other words, you know you're close to God. There is a presence with you. Moses came down from the mountain, but his face was still shining. Jesus went on the mountain, and he was transfigured by the presence of God. He was changed. If you are close to God, you'll be changed. Your life will be changed. The presence of God will sweeten you. You'll be a different person. And we know you're close to God because you're going to have peace and joy and love. I like this point here. Look at that. If you're close to God, we know you're close to God because you're going to talk like God. You come to Guyana after a while and you start talking like Guyana. Away you go, man. How you do, brother? What do you say? I be calm. Now, you don't understand what I'm saying. It's broken up English. I'm saying, what you do, man? What are you doing, man? Where you go? Where are you going? But it's broken up, you see? When you're with God, you talk God talk. You ever see big men look stupid? No, I'm not talking about you here. I'm talking to some men that are big. And they hold their babies in their hands. And they started out baby talk. You know? Cutie, cutie, cutie. There's something funny. But they're talking baby talk. When you're with God, when you're close to God, you start talking like God. All things are possible. You start talking faith. If you believe, it's going to happen. With God, nothing is impossible. You start talking, God can heal the sick. God can help a divorce situation. God can do things that no man can do. You start talking like God. But when you're away from God, you start talking to like the people who are away from God. They're afraid of the signs around them. They look around and see what's going on. The economy is crashing. Crisis all around. I don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. God is still in control, and he's going to let his people enjoy his blessing. Somebody say amen. See, when you're with God, you behave like a child of God. You don't pretend. You act. You love. You forgive. You praise. You know, you go to church and say, come on, let's praise the Lord, everybody. No. It comes out. Yeah. It comes out naturally. You're close to God. It's deep within you. Somebody say amen. You know that when you're close to God. You will love godly things. We're having 50 nights of prayer meeting. Oh, I think that's too much. But when you're close to God, let's go. Let's have 50 nights. Somebody say amen. You love church. You love the Bible. You take it with you everywhere you go. You love to sing the songs of God. Somebody say amen. You love to worship. You hate the world. And you condemn the world. But he that is a friend of God is an enemy of the world. James 4:4. This is how we know how close you are to God. You hate the world. Because whatever is inside of you is going to come out. You hear his voice. Follow me. Be not afraid. You feel his heartbeat. Oh, come on now. Again, when Gabriel was much smaller, I put him right there and said, you hear that? He said, yeah. He was feeling my heartbeat. You can't get any closer than that. Come on, somebody say amen. When you get close to God, you feel his heartbeat. You know what his heartbeat? Souls. Kids on drugs. Those kids that are dying in abortions every day, that's his heartbeat. Those kids that are hungry in Africa and India and Guyana, that's his heartbeat. Oh my God, I tell you, listen to me. God is allowing his son not to come yet so more souls can come in. You know, sometimes you get a little discouraged with the kids we're working with. We get a little discouraged with them because we feel like, what's the use? And then I tell Sheila, I said, listen, these three girls that we have here, we saved them from prostitution. How you know? One of the girls that we have there, she was a lookout for her mom when she was doing her thing. Little Dingo. You don't want to hear him talk. He talks some things you want to know where he got it from. From his parents. From where he lived before. And I said to my wife, I said, we've saved three young ladies from prostitution. And one soul is worth more than the whole world. God's heart is bleeding for the souls all around us. I know some of them will not hear. I know some of them will not come, but we can't stop telling them that Jesus loves them. We can't stop giving so the gospel can go forward. It is the heartbeat of God that every soul be saved. Somebody say amen. So I know I'm close to God when I love souls. I watch some preachers on the TV sometimes and I smile because they close off their message with, send me some money for this book that you got. You send me $10, I send you a tape. That's how they close the program. And there are souls out there wanting to be saved, wanting to be prayed for. There are people out there committing suicide at the very moment when they're talking. And if they would say a prayer for them, and if they would invite them to come to Jesus, it'd be a big difference. How to get close to God? Number one. Obey him. Obey his word. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Is that right? But the Bible said Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He was getting away from God. He was moving away from where God was sending him. He didn't want to obey what God had to do and tell him to do. He didn't want to obey. Obey God. Have your hearts cleansed. One of the reasons why we are in the situation we are sometimes, we can't forgive somebody. One of the easiest ways to test where you are with God is if your prayers are being answered. Serious. We pray to whom? Do we get answers? The Hindus pray. Do they get answers? The Muslim pray. Do they get answers? We claim we have the right God. Do we get answers? Think about it. Am I supposed to get answers? Yes. For God is a prayer answering God. Somebody say amen. God is a God who answers prayers. Forgive your brother. Cleanse your heart. Get into the secret chambers of your heart and ask God to search and remove. And draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Be a God chaser. Search for Him. If you seek Him, you shall find Him. If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. Think of Dingo when he comes near to me. I don't kick him off. You know what I mean? Get out of here, boy. Move. And some of the girls, you know, will call him away from me. You know what I mean? Come, don't bother. You know, don't bother pastor. Come on. I said, no, leave him. When I eat, he'd come at the table. So Dingo will eat two times, you know. He eat at the regular table with the kids. Then he come at my table. And I, whatever I'm eating, I give him some. And he likes that. Before I came, I know I was going to leave. So I had some candy. Every morning, he knock on the door. So one morning, I heard his knock on my door. I opened the door, there was Dingo. I said, you knocking on my door? He said, no. I knock in the rocket. He said, he had a rocket in there. He wanted a candy. He said, how could you turn him away with that kind of face and that kind of voice? You know. So the point is this, my friend. You can draw near to God with a clean heart. One of the secrets of my life is every day I search my heart. And I tell you the truth. The closer I get to God, is the more unworthy I feel. I tell you the truth. I said, God, I am not even worthy to look up to your face, for you're so holy. But you can make me worthy through the blood of Jesus. You can wash me. You can cleanse me. You can make me worthy. You can put on the righteousness of Christ. Draw near with a broken heart. A woman of the city came to Simon's house. She was not invited, but she came in. And Jesus was reclining on his sofa as he was. She was not invited, but she drew near to him. Somebody say amen. And she came by his feet, broken up. She was crying all the time. And her tears were wetting his feet, and he didn't turn her away. See, I'm talking about drawing near, you know. He could have shifted his foot and said, hey, get out of there, woman. Leave me alone. But he allowed her. That tells me something. He likes when we draw near. And when the tears were mixed with whatever was on Jesus' feet, she took her hair and began to wipe his feet. And he allowed it. He likes when we come there. Somebody say amen. Amen. And she brought with her her best perfume, of course. And she broke the perfume, and the scent filled the room and poured it on his feet. Still crying. Still crying. And Judas said, what is this going on here? We could have sold this perfume for so much money. Put the money in the church and feed the poor. And he said that Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Leave her alone. Turned to Simon and said, Simon, I came to your house. You didn't wash my feet, but here is this woman washing me. I said, woman, your sins are forgiven. I'm going to tell you something today. only when you draw near, things happen. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, there is healing. In his presence, there is deliverance. In his presence, things happen. Burdens are lifted. Tears are dried up. Healing goes on in the inner person, in the presence of God when you draw near. Can somebody say amen? So there's some things that will keep us away. Pornography, fornication, drugs, loose living, indiscipline. Your body is the temple of God. And if you want God to come near you, or you want to get close to God, you got to make your body holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm getting to a close, so don't worry. We need to draw close to God in a physical sense until we hear his breathing. So that's hard. Who knows? His breath represents his presence. We need to draw close to God that when we touch him, we can feel his pulse. Ooh, I'm close enough there. I can feel that. Somebody say amen. We need to draw close to God, and if he's in front of us, we can see his footprints. And we are following them. And as we get closer, we can smell his perfume. See, you know certain people when they're coming, even if you don't see them, because you know the smell of that perfume. And you know God's presence has a beautiful smell about it. Woo, somebody say amen. You need to draw near to God, and you can draw close to him so you can love him. So you can be transformed like Jesus on the mount. Stephen was so close when they were stoning him. Remember Stephen in the New Testament? They were stoned. He said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of the Father. And they said Stephen's face looked like the face of an angel. Woo, I like that. My Lord, have mercy. Oh, yes. Fellowship with those who are close. Meditate. Read your Bible. Read good books. Be thirsty for righteousness. Be thirsty for the things of God. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Come before his presence with singing. The woman with the issue of blood got close enough to touch the hem of his garment. And she was healed. John the Revelator got a glimpse of his face. Moses heard his voice. Oh, I tell you what, when he was hanging on the cross, all the disciples fled. But Mary, his mother, stood by the cross until he uttered his last words. And Mary was blessed to hear all the words that he said. And Mary was blessed to hear his last breath. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Got to close. Jacob was running away from his brother. Rested in a place and had a dream. Is that right? He dreamt there was a ladder going up to heaven and angels were going up and down the ladder, up and down. And he got up the next morning and said, woo! The Lord is in this place. This is Bethel. My friend, how close are you today? Oh, you know when somebody is far away, when they're bickering, when they're strifing, when they can't love, You know somebody is far away when they can't lift their hands and praise the Lord. You know somebody is far away when they can't give to the Lord. You know somebody is far away when they don't have a burden for those babies that are dying and those people that are hungry and those souls that are out there that need help. You know. But you know someone is close to God when they pray, when they speak in tongues, when they worship. Can somebody say amen? The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us stand together for prayer. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, yes, all things created. Thou hast created all things, hallelujah, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace and make our request known. I want every believer to be praying at this moment. Draw near to God. Holy Antora Masekoya myself. Malobayanka setera barondo sekeya. Maduriando semekaya mosele. When the little lambs follow afar off, the wolf will destroy them. The wolf will destroy the lambs that are following afar off. Draw nigh to God and he will strengthen you this morning. I know in all my heart that there are people here this morning who say, Pastor, I want to get a little closer. I want to draw near to God. You know something? If you draw near to God, he's going to help you with your problems. He's going to touch your body. He's going to help you with your situation. I want to pray for those that need to draw near this morning. You need to draw near. You'll be honest and say, Pastor, I want to get a little closer where I can feel his presence. Come on, let's pray together. Come on, let us pray together. If you want to draw a little closer, come on and let's pray together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, see him high and lifted up, see him on a throne, see the elders worshiping him, hear the voices of the creatures as they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, blessed be the name of the Lord. You want to draw closer because of some problem? You want to draw closer because of some need today? Hallelujah. Listen, we're not here to humble anybody. We're not here to take pride that you came forward. We're here to help you get closer to the Lord. We're here to say a prayer with you. Hallelujah. To break the powers of Satan that want to separate you from Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he'll try to separate you. He'll try to get you away from the flock that he can break you. But we're here today to draw near. If I've got to crawl on my knees and my hands, I'm going to crawl. I want to get near. I want to hear His voice. I want to see His face. I want to feel His presence. I want to know He's near me today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Andorra Masekoseya. Manoria Bakasetaya. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let prayer become easy this morning. In the name of Jesus, give them a Lord. Give them a vision of your throne. Give them a vision. Let them see Jesus walking in the midst of the church.